Welcome to this evening's Monroe City Council meeting for June 11th, 2013. At this time, I would like to call the meeting to order and ask if Edie can take roll call, please.
Councilperson Gehring.
Here.
Cutabat.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble. Hamford.
Here.
I did receive word this afternoon from Councilmember Gamble that he will be about an hour late this evening. Engagement that he's participating in. But for now, please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, first off this evening, we have the opportunity to hear from members of the public. This is time set aside for citizens to provide comments and to speak to city council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We ask that you provide, for those who speak, your name and address for the record, as well as please limit your time to 5 minutes. We do have two individuals, and I'm not sure both are going to speak or one, but signed up on the same page here. First, Mr. Patterson. If you would. And joining him is Mr. Free.
Yes.
Yes.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. My name is Brent Patterson. I live at 17521 115th Street Southeast. And Tyler Free.
And I live at 14978 175th Avenue Southeast on Crescent Street.
I'm the president of the Stanton Mills Homeowners Association, and Tyler is the vice president of the HOA, and we're here speaking on behalf of the Stanton Mills community. Give a little background. We were established in 1996 in Monroe, and we are just southwest of the Valley General Hospital. Community of 145 lots and two divisions within our community. So we're here speaking to you on behalf of a letter that we have written to the City Council addressing three improvements that we'd like to make to the community. The first being traffic calming devices. The second being painting curbs specifically around fire hydrants and mailbox locations. And the third being the lighting situation of the corner of 179th and Stanton Street. And so those are the three points that we made in the letter. And I know today there's a focus on the agenda item of the traffic calming devices, so we wanted to attend and hear what the council had to say. And so from here, Tyler is actually going to be discussing more detail of why we're requesting these improvements to our community and what impact they will have to the well-being of our community.
So what we're really looking to do here is to try to continue to improve our community. We've had some pretty good success in the past couple of years with the new HOA coming on board, improving the general look and feel of our homeowners association or of our community. We've done quite a bit. We've got some pretty good feedback. We're just looking to take it to the next level. So what we're looking for here is to work with the City Council to kind of give us some direction, tell us who to work with, tell us which way we need to go in terms of these things that we want to do. You know, the traffic, calming devices, pretty important to us. We've had some host calls. We've had a couple of people in the neighborhood. We've been pretty successful with instituting a series of fines and other letters of violation to get a lot of things corrected, but we just continue to have this one pretty big problem with some of the teenagers speeding up and down the streets. There's been some close calls. So we're looking to try to do some additional things that help us with that. And that's really our primary concern tonight. That's the thing we really want to discuss with you guys. We know that there's some possibility there. We know that Kirkland has instituted something similar. We've been fairly successful. We know there are some concerns regarding emergency vehicles and other things, but we think that those can probably be addressed And we think that the benefit far outweighs the negatives in this case. The other things that we want to talk about, the painting is fairly minor. We're just looking to work with you guys on that. So I think that's pretty much it. Anything you want me to expound on?
I just wanted to add that you all have received a plat map of the community, and the highlighted areas are specifically what we're addressing. The green highlighted areas are the streets that we are looking to add these traffic calming devices. As you can see, 175th and Stan Street are very straight and very long, and cars pick up quite a amount of speed through that area. Specifically also on 175th and the highlighted orange, that is a community park where kids play. A lot of traffic goes through there. As there's a trail behind that park that connects the various neighborhoods, and so people walk through that park to get that trail and do walks around the community. So again, a lot of traffic in that area. And then finally, in the blue highlighted section, there's that's the corner that we're speaking of in terms of the lighting efficiency. At night, it's very hard to see pedestrians, and it's a bottleneck corner. And so it narrows down quite significantly, and it's hard to see the curbs, and people are hitting the curbs as they hit that corner. So I'll just give you a little background on that.
That was me. I've hit those curbs before, too.
So have I. Okay. So I think our time's up, but thank you for your time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. Gentlemen, one second, if you would. We do have a council member with a question.
Yes, thank you. The area that's shaded blue there, is that where that big tree is kind of hanging out?
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Is that tree on the piece of property identified as 1-042, or is that on public?
There are several trees on 1-042. That is not part of our community, yes. HOA, but he is removing some of those trees, lightening up that area. And then there are some significantly high bushes, and I don't think there's any trees on the 1-004. That is actually a daycare facility. And so there's kid traffic in the, right across the fence on that corner.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody else who has signed up to speak this evening, but as always, I would like to open up at this time to members of the audience who would like to address council. This is your opportunity to speak if you'd like. Anybody takers? No? All right. Seeing none, then we will move on to the next portion of the agenda this evening. Our first item is the consent agenda. One item there, that's the Beaton Road stormwater easement adjustment. We have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Cuddeback and seconded by Councilmember Hanford to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You. All right, first item under new business, ordinance adopting the 2012 building codes and amending and amendments. This is a first reading, and Brett, this is yours.
Thank you. You've looked at this a couple of times. I had a presentation to you in April. We did it again last week. We've written it so that we've added the language adopting the 1997 uniform code for the abatement of dangerous buildings to take care of any unsafe buildings that we have in town. We have not included the language adopting Appendix S of the International Residential Code, which is the mandatory requirement for fire sprinkler systems. However, the alternative recommendation has the language if you would wish to add that. And I think that was all that came up last week. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, we'd be looking for a first reading of the ordinance.
Councilmember Williams.
I'd like to make a motion to accept this first reading ordinance number 008-2013, amending chapter 15.04 building codes.
Second.
All right, motion is made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Cutaback to approve or to accept this first reading ordinance 008-2013, amending chapter 15.04 building codes. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Brad, this still contains the staff recommended versions of everything else that we talked
yes.
about last week, correct? All right, thank you.
All right. Seeing no lines, hearing no other comments, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All pass. Thank you. All right, secondly, here at number two, ordinance amending chapter 1501, stormwater. This is a first reading also. Mr. Feinberg.
Thank you. We brought this to you the beginning of April with the updates. This is required by our National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System Phase 2 stormwater permit that we're required to adopt Appendix 1 of that, which is these regulations. Basically, it's updating the municipal code to include those. The previous ones were adopted in 1994, I do believe. So this is just updating that, and it's all mandatory language from the state. And it's been through the proper planning commission review and approval or recommendation for approval. The only thing they had was changing the language a little bit on a definition, which made it clear because the state's definition had like quadruple negatives in it, so it was kind of hard to understand.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to accept as first reading ordinance 009-2013, amending chapter 15.01 stormwater management.
Second.
All right, motion has been made by Councilmember Camp, seconded by Councilmember Hanford. Can't find the motion, so as read. Any other comments or questions for staff? Okay, seeing none. Take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, moving right along here. We have some discussion on the landfill investigation. This is actually an update. First, we'll hear from City Administrator Brazel and then Mr. Sachs. City Administrator Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. Work continued on the landfill project, doing the investigative work. The Riley Group has spent countless hours going through all of our files. They've been at the Health District, the State Archives, looking at aerial photos. And after doing all their comparisons, they did some other survey work up there, property line survey. And then they hired a person to do kind of let's just call it an X-ray. It's a lot more technical of that. But it basically gave them a picture of what was underneath the big mound, and it kind of identified where the garbage was. So one of the things we held off on when we first started this project was the boring or test hole portion of the project until we got a better idea of where the garbage was located. And then we figured we'd bring it back to council to have continued discussion and look for a recommendation. We're at that point today. The next step is going to cost in the area of $70,000. It's a little higher than we initially had thought. Our initial budget came in around $80,000, and so the total cost of this project is going to be about $125,000. So it's really $46,000 more than what we had initially thought. However, after identifying where the garbage is, we felt it was critical to do, when we did our boring, to be able to bore through the garbage into the groundwater so we could sample that as well to make sure that there was no contamination leaching out through the bottom and get a real good picture of where we're at. In addition, we've talked to some of the companies that are interested in the gravel itself, and they can communicate to us that if they were going to put a bid on the gravel person, if that's what we're talking about, they would need actual gravel samples, siftings, that type of thing, so they knew what kind of product was in that mound. those costs are built into that. That wasn't in our first estimate. So there's quite a few things that are involved there. We're still excited about the project. We believe that it's definitely well worth the money to move forward. The property is worth a lot more money than the $120-some thousand that we're looking at putting into the project for the research work. We've also looked at recycling of the materials that are there. There's new technology that'll separate out the colored glass. The colored glass then would be recycled. The paper would be sifted out. Any of the metals would be taken away, that would be recycled. So there's a lot of value in that. And we can put our hands around what that value would be once the borings and the test pits are completed. Part of this process, we sent Mr. Sachs to a class last week down in Tacoma on sites just like this, how to redevelop them, how to clean them up, the cost-benefit analysis, and that type of thing. So at any rate, I'll turn it over at this point to Jeff to talk about what he's learned, and then Diane can talk about the funding and where that would come from should council decide to want to move forward. Jeff.
So the course I went to last week was a NEBC, and don't question me on what that acronym is. It's a bunch of engineers that dig around in contaminated sites. But the whole conference was, it was a setup where attorneys that practice land use law, real estate professionals, consultants that do the work actually cleaning up contaminated sites. And the moral of the theme of the entire day was a real estate transaction is required in order to clean up a site. There are sites all over the Puget Sound area that are contaminated. Dry cleaners tend to be the worst, gas stations to a certain degree, but once the price point gets hit where a potential developer says, yes, I can rebuild that site, that's when all the action takes place, and that's where the cleanup begins and all the studies and research and all the rest of that come on board. In this case, the initial indications are we have a very confined and pretty well-known site as to what's in it. It's already been certified and closed by the appropriate agencies. If we reopen the landfill and extract the materials that are in there, what we can then do is clean the site to the point where a developer could come in and purchase that property from the city and convert it from a tax-exempt liability to a tax-paying revenue-generating, profitable piece of property for both the taxpayers of Monroe as well as the future owner. So the message, I guess, that I would like to convey to council right now is that the best transactions that come together are those where the seller is fully educated on what they have. What are the liabilities? What are the risks involved in the piece of property? And when we finish this next step, I think we'll have our arms around what that is, and that will allow us to make the decision, does the city move forward to clean the site up itself? Do we just leave well enough alone and let it sit? Or is there a developer that may want to come on board and assume all the risk and assume the liability and actually do the cleanup themselves? And we really don't know that. We're not at the point where we can start to have that conversation until we finish this next step. And the next step involves some physical test pits where they'll get an excavator out there and dig some holes. There will be drills, grilling. And one of the reasons it's more expensive is they'll use a sonic grilling instead of an auger drilling method. And what the sonic grilling does is it allows them to go down through the garbage and into the subsurface and grab that entire core and lift it out, where an auger will just chew its way down and push it all up to the surface, but it'll mix it all up and you won't know what's actually in that material. We'll also have an analysis of what material is next to the garbage. So how much money is the mineral content, the gravel that sits right next to it if we decide to extract that material as part of the transaction, mine it, sell the product, and use that as a revenue source. So I think it's a good project moving forward. The message that I hear loud and clear is the real estate market is interested in these types of properties. And the best way to enter into a purchase and sale agreement is to have a maximum amount of information as far as what is the risk involved for all parties concerned. So I'm on board. My recommendation would be to move forward with the project and get us through, I guess, phase five or step five and get our arms completely around it.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Diane, you might have some recommendations for funding.
Yeah, we could use real estate excise tax money for this. We'll probably, at the end of the year, end up being over budget on what we predicted, estimated we would receive because of the sale of the Blueberry Run apartments, Morning Run apartments, Blueberry Lane. And, or there's money in the contingency fund that can be used.
The additional amount that we're seeking above what was originally requested, what is how much? Again, I apologize.
The original bid was $80,000. The whole project's going to be around 126, I think it is. And so I can't remember, Diane, do we have 80 budgeted or do we have 50?
We have 50 budgeted.
Okay. 76.
Correct. 76. 76.
And we do foresee the REIT dollars coming in for the sale of the Blueberry apartments as being approximately how much?
$130,000.
So in addition to the other REIT money, even with that, we're looking at revenue beyond our projections.
Well, because of that extra 130, we were kind of sluggish in the REIT revenue stream so far this year. I expect that'll pick up later on in the year, but we did not anticipate this extra money from the Morning Run apartments. So.
And so far with the discovery process, we're looking at about 4.5-5 acres tops of where the actual garbage is located, and the site itself is, what, 9 to 11?
9 to 11, depends on if we use the state piece that's out in the right way.
Correct. And so all indications right now is that it's pretty confined. The type of garbage that is in there is household waste. It caught fire a time or two, and so a lot of it got burned away. And it was the type of landfill where they dumped off the slope. So it wasn't the actual pit where they filled the pit in. They dumped off the side of a slope, so it's kind of a sliver type of a landfill. So, again, it's pretty confined. When Fred Meyer was built and we did some digging, when that foundation was built, we ran into some of the material and we had to move it up onto the landfill site at that point in time. And from what I remember the product being, it was a lot of just kind of muck, you know, you couldn't see any papers or anything like that. It was just a kind of like a compost pile, if you will. So at any rate, that's kind of where we're at right now. In the research, we didn't see anything that was outlandish dumped in there, pretty much just household waste. So that's kind of where we're at this point.
All right. Thank you. Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. Ty, I have a few questions on this. The recommended action tonight is asking for $30,000. Has that number changed based on what you just said?
It has. The head person from Riley that was working on this, Michael, he left town prior to getting the project estimates back from sub-consultants. And so we were thinking at that point it was going to be around $30,000, but the sonic drilling that Mr. Sachs mentioned was about $40,000 higher, we thought, so the total amount would be around $75,000 to continue this project.
For just tonight, what have we already paid?
$56,000.
Okay, so the $70,000 gets us to the finality of all five or six phases,
correct,
of the project. You talked about there's some gravel in there and some mineral, some metals and some glass and things like that. How does that work? I would assume that if somebody takes the gravel, they pay the city for the gravel.
Absolutely.
And that could be worth nothing, or it could be worth, do you have any speculation on how much of the the acres that aren't garbage will contain gravel?
We haven't done those estimates yet because everybody needs to know what type of gravel it is. And when Lakeside did the bidding on the portion that they mined out, the big mining project that lasted 10 plus years, there was too many fines in it, so it wasn't worth the type of money that they were expected to get. So without those actual samples, we're not sure what the product's worth, so it's kind of a chicken and egg type of thing. We know the gravel's worth something, whether it's fill, pit run, or it's crushable rock. All of that has a street value. What that is right now, we have no idea without our sifting samples, okay, which is part of this.
So I'm assuming one option would be that we sell it. Another option would be we sell the land and let the buyer deal with it. But that's all options that we have.
Absolutely.
And the same question with respect to the glass and the metals, is that something that we would have to pay to have removed or something that a salvage company would pay us to take away?
What we foresee happening is once the next phase is done, the samples, we'll have a good idea of what we have and how much volume there is and if there is glass in it, right? And at that point, we can choose the options that you talked about, sell the property as is, whereas with the information we have, put it off to bid and have it mined down to a set elevation that we come up with. And that could be bid a couple of ways. Everything recycled, that would come back to the city, or that would go to the contractor, however we want to set up the bid. But it would be our option on how we want to stage that.
Okay. And then what was the initial plan for that piece of property once the landfill was closed? Was there any plan at all for it?
There wasn't. It was just open space. It was a tract. When I was the public works director, I was looking at the options of putting a park in there. And I talked to the health department at that point in time, and they were really interested in the project. However, with all the other parks we had in the community, it just didn't really pan out and make sense. And now with the price of land at North Kelsey, and we do have people that have expressed interest in that exact parcel, it makes more sense to clean it up and make a marketable piece of property out of it.
Okay. And if we're talking 9 acres, you know, 126,000 is a small, very small, in my opinion, small percentage of what we'd hope to get back from it. So to me, it sounds like we should move ahead. I'm totally in favor of it. As far as the using REIT money, I'm assuming if that doesn't come in before the end of the year, or are we sure it's going to come in before the end of the year when we would have to pay this?
The REIT money from the morning rental? Yeah, we'll probably get that this month.
Okay, so it will be here. So I would, again, my recommendation would be that we use the REIT money to do that. And if it for some reason was delayed, that we could use contingency fund with the directive that the REIT money refunds the contingency fund for it. So those are my comments.
Thank you. City Administrator Redlin.
And the other thing I want to make sure that council and everybody understands that as you look at the hill, that big mound is not the whole amount of the garbage. The main part of the garbage would be to the west side. And so if you're going around the back of Fred Meyer's, you'll see a plateau that's probably, what, 20 feet higher than the parking lot. That big plateau is where all the garbage is located. There is some remnants up on the top of that big hill. So even if we mined over to that plateau that's existing there, you would gain 80 feet, 100 feet of flat property next to the Galaxy parking lot. So whatever we do, we're going to be able to gain property that's usable that we're not using today.
That's currently zoned, isn't it, zoned open space?
It is.
We would have to go through a rezone process for anything we do there. Okay.
Correct.
Council, any questions? The request this evening would be to authorize the Riley Group to move forward with the next phase of the investigation as outlined in the original contract, not to exceed $75,000.
So moved.
Second.
A motion has been made by Councilmember Williams, seconded by Councilmember Heard. Councilmember Heard.
Thank you. Jeff, you had a statement. I just wanted to make sure that I heard it right. You said a real estate transaction is required to do a cleanup. Is that such a because no, you would never do it otherwise? Is that kind of what you meant? I was just trying to figure out.
That's the essence.
Where you get out.
Right. And until there's a reason to spend the money, typically the landowner is unwilling to spend in this case, I think the value of the land versus the initial analysis is so large. I mean, we're talking small percentages of what the total land cost would be. So, yes, is the answer to your question.
Right, well, you wouldn't really do it otherwise. It's,
right.
It's kind of like, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. What's been said before. I think this is there's so much benefit that can come out of this. I look forward to when it's nice and flat and solid.
There's a great picture. I don't know if council had an opportunity to look through the packet, but page 13 of 63 shows a really good outline from above, both the property and the landfill itself. So to City Administrator Brazel's point is that the land, there's usage there available, even if these borings and things come back to say that maybe reclamation of the landfill is not warranted at this time. So that's a great picture. And there's expressed interest in that property up to the landfill itself. So nice stone wall or something there. Something like that. Okay, any other comments, questions for staff? And it's a great opportunity for the city, and I appreciate the motion and look forward to the finalization of this study. All right, seeing no lights, hearing no comments, we'll take a vote on the motion then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you very much. Okay, we at this time are going to recess the meeting and reconvene in the study session. Our first topic in the study session portion of this evening's agenda is traffic calming policy. And Brad, I believe it's you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. As we mentioned last week, this is a more general discussion rather than the specifics that sort of triggered the discussion of the Stanton Meadow request. In the past and recently, and quite often, we get requests for speed bumps or other methods of traffic calming in the city. In the past, we've had draft policy documents and actually even did some temporary traffic circles at the intersection of, I think it was Madison and Powell and Blakely and Powell in probably the early 90s. To try this out, and at that time no one liked any of the ideas we had, and so they kind of just all went away. I think it's important that the city has a policy on when we do this, how we do it, what are the criteria, so that we're consistent through the city. And so that's probably the first thing that needs to be done. And I included some web links to other cities who have their programs and how they set them up. So after your discussion today, I'd like to have direction from the council that staff bring back to you in August, I think I said it was. Yeah, for the August 13 council meeting, a draft traffic calming policy for your consideration. And if you have any questions or comments, I'd be happy to answer maybe. If I have an answer.
Councilmember Gearing.
Yeah, amazing. My light just turned on. And thanks, Brad. Well, my first move here, I wrote a letter to the city and got a nice response from the late mayor, Bob Holman, who politely said no to kind of a speed bumps. But of course, I think my road might be considered a secondary road. I have been through Kirkland many times and have driven over their traffic calming devices, and it certainly worked for me. It slowed me down through these neighborhoods. And I understand there's a lot of kids, a lot of parks. I think that there are specific areas in town where this would be a big benefit, and I think many people in town would be in favor of having traffic calming in their neighborhoods, especially near parks where a lot of kids are. Places like that, and sure, that changes over time. But there are some specific areas where I know that definitely might make sense. I was impressed with the Stanton Meadows letter as I saw it. We have friends there. We've been on these streets, and those two streets in particular, 175th and Stanton, are those are straight shots, and gets nice weather, and people just want to step on it and don't really have any have less concern for that. So when I think of perhaps as we're putting together a policy, maybe a test neighborhood to put something where we might try some of these things out. This is very contained, and these roads aren't secondary nature. 149th might be considered secondary, but the other ones I think would qualify as residential streets. Perhaps Stanton as well. So we've had this discussion before, and it feels like it's kind of been, we don't want to. I've heard, it can cause damage to cars and things like that. But if you do them right, when you go over them, the only damage to the car you're going to cause is if you're going at a ridiculous speed, which is you deserve to have damage to your car when you're going over something like that fast. I like how Kirkland did it, looking through their websites. I know it's been effective. And there's so many different ways to do it, whether you put the gaps in between or whether it's just a fully raised one. I don't think this is... I'm not okay with just no on this. I think we need to, as the city continues to grow, and our city is... We had this influx of young families move here 10, 15 years ago, and a lot of those kids, I know my kids the next couple years will be in driving age. I think we're probably increasing in drivers, and increasing in young drivers means... quite frankly, increase in dangerous drivers. I think it makes sense to be proactive in this, not wait till a tragedy happens, and look at some areas in town where this might be good for test areas. I think St. Meadows, because it is contained like that, I think that would be a great area at least to start and look at it. But I'm all in favor of having a policy. I think we absolutely need to. And I think that this would be something that other neighborhoods in town would definitely be interested in. I know I wouldn't mind. Those are my initial comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I had my first experience last week with speed cushions, and I went over and I thought, "Well, this was great. This worked neat." There was a series of three of them there. And the first one, I slowed. I was going slow, but it wasn't the. You know, it's not that jarring. Drive your wheels through your, effect of a speed bump. And the second one, these cushions have the wheel pads, and if you lined up with the wheel pads, you went right through it, no bump or anything. But you had to be going slow in order to do that. And I thought, well, that so you can kind of beat the system if you line it up and line your wheels up, but you got to go slow enough to be able to do that. So, voila, it's working. So I thought, I've never seen these before. This would be something we might want to think about. And then reading the Kirkland's plan and everything else, they've got descriptions of them. So there you are.
Did you tell them the traffic work?
Cushions.
Speed cushions.
That's what, speed cushions with wheel pads. And that seems a very viable option here. If we've got issues with speed bumps, which I can understand that. These seem to do the job. They work very well, and they were not obnoxious. So I was glad to see that. And this meant that the information that you got, it's something that we could think about.
I'm not sure who was first. Councilmember Williams.
Thing there. I clearly grew up in the old days when we used to refer to them as speed bumps, but the now the more politically correct term is traffic calming measures. Brad, if you move forward with this, what's the totality of what you're looking at? Because some of the things that would concern me is not just where they can go and the size of them and all that, but how we implement the program and who pays for it.
Who pays for it? How are they requested? Is it one person who asks it? Is it everybody in the neighborhood, or how far beyond? How, when they change their minds, how do they get taken away?
It's all of that.
And
stuff.
Whether it's speed humps, chicanes, traffic circles, offset intersections, one way streets or whatever it is, how do you pick that and all that stuff?
Okay, good. And then also maybe today's dollars for cost of what, mm-hmm. what it takes to pull one up. I'd be interested in that as well. So, thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First, thanks to the HOA members who sent me that mail originally. I can see the impact that this would have just in my firm. Right, I'm curious. So I was looking through some of the documentation, and one of the criteria is 15% of traffic traveling through an area has to be exceeding 35 miles an hour. Is that a standard in the industry? Do you have any idea?
No.
That's one of the things I'm concerned about.
Yeah. The speeds are usually what's usually... When you're talking about speeding, and things, you usually talk about the 85th percentile speed, so right. what 85% of the people are going.
Which is, they explain the 25%, or 25 miles an hour at 85%, and if it exceeds 15% going faster than 35.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's basically, that's the policy decision for the city council to decide is when you want to do them. So, for example, the 85th percentile speed in Stanton Meadows on the highest street is 28 miles an hour.
Right.
So, by that one, you wouldn't be putting them in.
Right.
So, that's up to the council to decide on, you know, how frequently you want them to be put in.
So, is there a national criteria or something? You probably don't need
to. Because the Institute of Transportation Engineers guidelines basically said it's a local decision to be made. You know, how calm do you want your traffic?
Okay, I guess that's the point.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
It's nothing hard and fast.
Nothing hard and fast.
Massively research project that explained
no.
why 15% there.
No.
Okay, a couple of the other points that were brought up were painting some of the curbs. I didn't know if we were going to discuss it. I don't know if that's really traffic calming.
That's not really traffic calming. The one is, we'll do the fire hydrants. The council has on numerous occasions addressed the issue of red zones in front of mail stations and has every time decided not to do it since it's actually not illegal. And so didn't want to get into the issue of that. And it's, you know, neighbors shouldn't be parking in front of their mailboxes. So that issue, that's come up several times in front of the council and always been decided not to do that.
What about fluorescent painting? That one corner they mentioned, I've seen it, the trees.
Right.
I walk through that area all the time. I don't know how many times I've almost been run over.
Right.
Is that a possibility?
We'll look at that. Yeah, we actually asked them when they asked for the streetlight the first time, we asked them what they were trying to accomplish and never heard back from them because the easiest way to do it is have the streetlight put on the east side of 179th, just north of the intersection, because there's an existing power pole there.
Right.
But that actually wouldn't help solve the problem, which wasn't articulated earlier. So, you know, now that we know what the problem is, we can talk to PUD about installing an additional pole on, you know, either the north or south side, west of the intersection, west of 179th, to add some additional illumination to that area.
Will that be reviewed and brought back in August? Or?
No, that'd just be good. It'd be done.
Okay.
Yes.
That took care of this lights issue. Now, getting back to the painting, would that be a requirement if we were to paint some sort of a warning indicator in front of a mailbox?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a requirement for the city? Because I know the HOA offered to
yes.
themselves.
Right.
Is that okay? Is that a viable option within the city, or should the city take on something?
The city should do it if the city decides that should be done. So if the council established a policy that we do have okay. no parking in front of mailboxes,
right.
then the city will do that.
So that implies to me that our citizens are not allowed to go out there with their camera
and paint
in front of their house saying nobody will park in front of
right.
their house.
Yeah.
That answers my questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Get your white paint. Got to cover that. Yeah. Cover that red paint.
You got it.
Councilor Amber.
Thank you. This is a question. Might be more for the HOA gentlemen, but Brad, the speed limit through there is 25, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any official documentation of, like, you know, you set up those mm-hmm. clocks where you can clock people how fast they're going?
Yeah.
Has that been done?
Yes, it has. 85th percentile at the highest place of 28 miles an hour, you believe. It's in your packet.
Okay.
And the last attachment, you keep scrolling down, you eventually come to those numbers.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Now, my concern was like in our neighborhood, it's 25 as well, and sometimes I'll be driving through, and you know, it seems like we're going really fast, and my wife reminds me of that. But I'm looking down, and I'm not really going fast. I'm just doing the speed limit. So I'm trying to think. When I was in Kirkland, the area that I go in Kirkland, they have the humps, and it's in front of a school zone. And so you literally have to slow down to go through the school zone, whether the school's in or out. And those are the only humps that I remember driving over in Kirkland. But, you know, if the HOA in this area is all for speed humps, knowing that they're going to have to slow down leaving their neighborhood to 10 miles an hour or whatever it is going over those, I know it's pretty slow. It seems to make a lot of sense that we should pursue that. And I know that corner with the dark, with the tree, same thing as Councilmember Camp said, I've had a few experiences there, but it was just too dark. So I'm full favor. It's just a matter of working out these details, like you're saying. Thanks.
Councilor here.
Brad, a couple things. The formula. Sometimes, I don't know that, I know there's formulas to plug in for all this stuff. I think sometimes the true story can sometimes be lost in mathematics, maybe. So a 28, how old is the data from that site that you were in?
Within the last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
And I would say it's probably not the 28 miles an hour people that I'm concerned about. We'd be concerned about the people that have made that average above 25. And those are the people that are dangerous, and those are the people that you would be preventing, or those are the people that are of concern. So while it might be 28, it sounds like that's only 3 miles over the speed limit, but that doesn't mean there's still not necessarily a problem. So I want to make sure that's not lost just in formalism numbers. Because I agree with the feel sometimes. 25 miles an hour can be too fast, even though it's the speed limit for any situation. You know, there could be kids around, but you really should only be driving 15 because of whatever's going on. And, you know, that's just a judgment call for when you're doing it, but you aren't technically doing anything illegal by going 25. When I start thinking about those, the safety aspect of it doesn't necessarily fit sometimes into a formula. So I appreciate that 28 was the average there, but again, there's people that make that go up, and that's the concern for that particular neighborhood. I looked at a couple costs, and they seem to vary. What is there a place that you go to look at costs for this kind of the speed hump shopping catalog? I don't know where you what's the baseline for
basically cost have to doing this? Talk to operations and maintenance about how much the cost of asphalt is at the moment. Okay. How much time it would take? We'd have to build a template in order to get the hump in the right shape, things like that. So.
And that's the type of information that you would have for us in mm-hmm. the recommended date in 2 months.
Yes. Great.
Then regarding the lighting issue, that is a very dark corner and mm-hmm. the road does kind of squeeze down. What would be the time frame for PUD for that? Is that you send them a letter, we just wait to
hear. Yeah, we wait to do it. Yeah, because they have to install a pole. Exactly. Like a stone pole there.
You could never hear back. I mean,
No, they usually get them done in 3 months max.
And that's just something that, do they have to approve that? Or we say, we need this?
No.
What's the process?
We tell them we're going to pay for it, and they'll do it.
Okay. And what is the cost of putting it in
the light? If we leave it for 15 years, it's just the monthly charge of the street light.
I think 15 years.
Which is, I think it's $750 a month right now for 100 watt light bulb.
$750 a month?
No, $7.50.
Much better. I can deal with 750 months too. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilmember Kansas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No trouble.
I just have another question, something Councilmember Herring brought up. There are probably streets that are not, technically aren't main thoroughfares, but they are not good candidates for this. Probably would be the street I live on. You said that you were told it was not your street.
It might not be.
I'd like to know how that is determined. I don't know what definition. Obviously, like 154 would not be a good candidate.
We have arterials, collectors, and local access streets.
Okay.
So, like,
Are those all
local access streets? Okay. 154 is a collector, Franklin's Boulevard is an arterial, okay. Main Street's an arterial. So it's usually arterials and collectors, don't get them, and local access streets do.
Okay, can we get an inclusion of that of definitions? Just so we can see it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilman Garrett and Hanford, I appreciate your comments. We've looked at this a number of times in the past, and I have had some experience while on council, this discussion of the topic as well. And I've always thought that that the mathematics portion of it didn't quite take into consideration, you know, the narrowness of the street, how many cars are parked along the street, children at play, you know, is this a residential area as compared to, say, something like 179th, which has residential on it, but it's a little bit wider, a little bit more open, those types of things. So that may be something for council to consider in making your decision is, you know, there's a livability, I don't know what that word is exactly, but there's a livability factor or a, you know, a congestion factor that takes place in residential areas as opposed to some of the other feeders or arterials and things like that. 179th, you know, has residential on it, but it's a little wider. It's got some calming devices with the curving that comes out, although it doesn't calm a lot of people sometimes. So, but those are the types of things. So just recommend. I personally hope that council, you'll have staff look at preparing a traffic calming program and take action. I think it's something that we've needed for a long time here in the city. Just a little big background on the painting in front of mailboxes. This came before council, I think, 8 or so years ago. It was actually at the direction of the post office at the time. The post office was seeking to have curbs painted red because their delivery folks or mail carriers were not able to get to the mailboxes because cars were parked in front of them. And I think my response at the time was either snow or sleet or storm or whatever would keep delivery of the mail that a car parked in front of a mailbox would. And so I voted against having the curbs painted red because in some areas parking is limited, and they were seeking at the time, I think,
70 feet each side of the mailbox station.
Yes. So it was kind of
because they have to, you know, they have to slide in and slide out.
Yeah. So at the time it was overboard, and council at that time voted. But with that said, I know that I've seen neighborhoods where there are cars so closely parked to the mailboxes that neither the carriers or the residents of the area can get to the mailboxes. So if you consider that, I would say that it's not necessarily a bad idea, but maybe shorten it up a little bit. So, but just wanted to give us this background that this has come before council before and council passes. But we have a new council here and something for you to consider. But all right. With that said, Councilmember Williams, thank you.
Thank you. Just to elaborate on the point Councilman Geary made about the averages, the items that you put in our packet, they show the exceptions, how many people exceeded 45, 55, and 65, and in almost every one of those, there's at least one in some of those buckets. And so, to me, that's the average doesn't interest me. It's the car doing 65 miles an hour, because that's the person you're trying to prevent from doing it, not the 20. So I don't know if when you bring back something, if, you know, we should look at something other than just averages when we're doing that, and if the neighborhood wants it. So that's what I'm looking at.
All right. Thank you, Councilor McCann.
Thank you. The mayor brought up one more point. The other calming measures, for example, on 179, where they have the varying width to slow down next to the park, that type of thing. Especially when we're dealing with something with a straightaway, essentially, right in front of the park. If we could bring back information on what other options would be feasible in areas like this versus widening travel, instead of just looking at speed bumps or speed humps, looking at all the options that would be available to us. That's it for me.
Well, I think we have some direction. One of the questions that I would like to ask is the time frame. I know that I'll leave this answer up to Brad to describe some of the work that's going on right now. Folks are quite busy in the engineering department. I would either turn to Mr. Fowler and ask him for an idea of when this might be able to be accomplished, or leave it to council to direct him or he and his staff to come back sooner or later. How long do you think that it might take given the workload that you guys have at this time?
August 13th.
Okay. Any difficulty with that? Any other recommendations? Councilmember Camp?
So, Gary, I'm just curious about, is there a weather consideration for any of these options? If you put in speed bumps?
Yeah, but you can do that till, you know, October. So
the road isn't
on. Yeah.
Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. Back to change the channel, back to painting. Yeah, can you count a few of the items here? That would be addressed separately. That's not part of the chapter. Calming, I would hope to see perhaps a discussion on that sooner than later. If that's a policy that we would want to implement, or, right? I mean, I've driven to many neighborhoods, been to the farm, other ones where I see the neighborhood has posted the sign there, please don't park in front of the mailboxes, which people promptly ignore. Red paint just looks more official. I don't know how much red paint costs, but I'd certainly be interested in seeing if we were to adopt a policy, what would be the cost for painting, going around town and painting, you know, maybe 2 feet, you know, on each side of this thing. So, you know, something that's reasonable, obviously, for an area where, 70 feet, that's hard to take seriously, obviously, but, you know, a couple feet on each side, it makes sense. That's where you can get in and out, and if you're trying to get your mail, you can get in and out. So, anyway, I'd hope to see that back sooner than later than August 30th. To me, that's something that can be addressed separately. If the rest of council is interested in discussing that further, perhaps some numbers with regard to that.
Along with that, I think that it would be important to hear from, and I failed to mention this, from the police department with regards to enforcement.
Oh, yeah.
Enforcement's a large part of this. We can pay every curb, red, if we're not able to enforce, or maybe we are, so.
I know when I see red, you're a little more hesitant to do it when it's red because it's official, regardless of the level of enforcement or not. So you could get a ticket, and that sometimes that's enough to turn as it is.
So what I think we've heard is August 13th is fine with regards to the speed bumps, and the bringing back a
discussion item
for painting the curbs in front of mailboxes a little sooner than that.
July 9th.
July 9th.
All right. We do that.
And call PUD for the poll.
Oh, you did? I didn't hear it. Yeah, normally I hear the clicks.
Okay. So will we need to discuss an ordinance making the legal department in front of the mailbox?
Chief, an ordinance would be, or an amendment to our current traffic laws would be in order for implementing.
Otherwise,
red
paint.
Yeah, there's no law that prohibits from parking in front of mailbox.
Right.
Unless
you put a no parking sign up there, wouldn't that take care of it? It's a regulatory sign.
Yeah, but then how far is it? Because you'd have to have a start and a stop, and you're doing $250 a mailbox then.
Paint's cheap. You're saying paint's cheap.
Paint means much cheaper.
Are you talking about paint for every mailbox, not a group of mailboxes?
Well, I mean for every group, yeah.
The group, just the group.
The stations or
stations.
Neighborhood delivery units, or whatever you call
them. That's why I'm thinking this. I saw it before. I think this is a little bit more involved than just painting the curbs.
It is. Yes.
So I just want to make sure that we have adequate time and adequate resources involved in discussing this. If we have to not only paint, but also to change the laws within the city, making it illegal, or other considerations, painting it a yellow warning color, saying you may not want to park here. Or else we might do something different.
Only but further, more discussion.
Absolutely, we need to talk.
So I think July 8th would be a sufficient amount of time to bring back at least some preliminary.
Yeah, July 9th, I'm just going to bring back the stuff that was presented to council the previous times and you know the minutes, and you can see where the discussion was then and decide which way you want to go.
And I believe that enforcement of the ordinances.
The enforcement signage, is a big thing.
Yeah, signage.
And that it still won't help the post office because if the post office can't drive up to the mail station, they won't deliver. So even if there's not a car parked directly in front, if they're more than an arm's length away from it, they're not going to deliver.
I think the discussion this evening is more centered around the residents' ability to get to their mailbox than the.
Thank you.
Councilor
Gunn. Thank you. Brad, as far as the painting the curb, the mailboxes, it's just for public mailboxes in big developments, correct?
As opposed to?
Well, just boxes on the street.
I mean, yeah. That's up to you. I mean, what the people who asked for it are, because that's the higher populated areas, there's more cars, so that's where it happens more than the one, you know, mailbox itself.
Exactly.
All by itself.
Do we have a list of the homeowners associations in Monroe?
Yes and no. We have lists that existed at the time that they were formed with the city initially, but usually that no longer works because everyone's sold the houses and they've changed presidents and they haven't had an election in the last 8 years and no one knows that they actually have one anymore. So there is not a current list that has all of the homeowners associations on it.
Well, the reason I ask is we've heard from one homeowner association in town relating to this issue. I think it might be worthy to kind of get some more public input on painting the curbs, whether it's worth it, whether it would make a difference, enforceability, all of that, before we decide up here to do it. So,
yeah. And we do have the ones that actually have like water heaters or something, so we can get that list.
I mean, I know we have a homeowners association. They would be really anxious and curious to our grateful to be part of the discussion. So just if we can before July 9th, maybe reach out to the ones we know and let them know that we're thinking of doing this and it's a discussion point, just if they have any input at all. And then my comments on the traffic calming program, I'm completely in agreement to draft something or bring it forward. It's hard to make any comments on whether I agree with it until I see it. I think the most important thing for me is that there is a clear process, as you mentioned, and that there would be enough public involvement. You know, what that means, you know, who can bring it forward, how many people have to agree, that type of process, whether we, of course, involve, you know, I mean, they stated a bunch of different groups and that information, whether it's hospitals, the police, you know, others, you know, to have their input also. So that's most important to me. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think we've got direction here on three items. One just a discussion item tonight. So. All right, moving on to the next is, and let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has entered the chambers and now he's not joined us. Item number two is discussion on closure of alley at 224 South Lewis.
Hey, there is an alley between 224 and that's on the south side and 218 on the north. 218 is the Motorola Apartments. You have a letter from the new property owner of that parcel who would like to close off the alley that goes between Lewis Street and the west side of his property. Before we start spending money, because we'll, since this is not a alley that was dedicated as an alley, you know, part of a plat, so it's not a normal vacation process, so we'd have to involve attorneys in how actually to do this if the city council decides to get rid of that piece of property. It was actually a piece of property that was dedicated to the city, or actually to the county in 1900, and on the warranty deed we have, it says for one gold coin. So that's one issue to do with. The other one is there are some people at the end of the north-south alley that use it for access. There is a garage door on the house on the south that accesses this piece of property. And also there's the existing alley that goes to the west from the north-south alley behind the apartment building to Blakely Street. Another piece of property that was given to the county is used by the adjacent property owner as a driveway that they park on regularly. So that would be an issue, and there's also some overgrown trees. So that would be an issue of opening that up, again, to give access if that's necessary. Preliminary discussions with the fire department, the police department, and the garbage hauler ally through public services indicated that they weren't tremendously upset by this. So if the council decides to go forward, we'll actually get more official input from those people, as well as notifying the adjacent property owners. So if you're interested in contemplating the either closure of the alley by just closing it off or by actually turning that property over to the adjacent property owner as requested, we will proceed with that, getting some legal opinions on how to do that, and also getting input from the surrounding property owners.
Councilmember Gary?
Thank you. The adjacent property owner being the Motorola Apartments?
Well, they're the ones who asked for it. Right. So we'd ask the people to the south, the people to the...
Would they be okay with this? That kind of a question?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we closed off this alley because you don't ever use that garage door because you've, you know, built, covered up on the inside because it's the family room now, right. You know, you don't need that anymore, or yes, no, because, you know, every day we go down that alley, and so therefore we don't want it closed off.
It could be a parking lot then, you know, they could use it for...
That's the request, is that he basically turns into his parking lot, and for the house on the south, if they just have an easement, they could back into his parking lot then. It's more the people on the west side of the north-south alley at the very end who have their parking area back there, and how do they access and things like that.
But then they would still have access both from the north-south and from the west. So
right.
It's not...
Right.
They would still have two of the three ways to access.
Correct.
Yeah. So I don't think that would be a huge deal. Would this help at all in the crime department? Is this a high crime area? And are there any benefits with regard to that in closing it, or is that not a consideration at all? I know there's been incidents around there. I don't know if there's anything like that that has anything to do with this, or is there a benefit to the city to doing this, or is it just we discovered this from 1900 and let's take care of it? I don't know. Yeah.
You want to address this?
The police department didn't seem to care, you know, not a big deal.
It was my impression that the issue of criminal activity was one that brought this to the forefront.
Okay.
And the feeling was that this would reduce it.
This would reduce it. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. Brad, on the photo that we have, the aerial photo where you've got the red lines drawn through. Our packet says they want to fence it off, and then we also hear that they want to make it a parking area. So where on this photo would the fence actually go versus where would be parking?
Basically, the parking area is now immediately south of the building. You can see a couple of diagonal cars there. So the striped area south of the building would turn in their parking lot, because they're actually using it as the driveway of the parking lot now. And then there would be a fence north-south, even with the west side of the apartment building. And then I would assume that to keep the people from running through, they want to continue that, match up with the house on the south to shut it off.
basically then making just the diagonal striped area only accessible from one area.
Right.
From South Blue Street.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councilmember Fedebeck.
Thank you. Brad, so you said, do we currently own that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's as a piece of property, not as a right-of-way.
So we own it as property.
Correct.
And if we were to do this, allow him to pave it, fence it off, would we deed it over to him? Would it become his property? Is that what he's asking?
That's what he's asking for. I mean, it's not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to, but as we discussed when we were doing the people using city property out at the Lord's Lake area, is the liability issue of having basically someone controlling property we own is not something the city wants to do.
Right.
So if we're going to allow this, it would be best to, you know, have him take the property.
Is there any suggestion we make him, or we ask for payment for some of this property? The reason I ask is
possible.
Obviously, it would seem to me that paving it and having additional parking for his apartment building, that's an apartment building, right?
Yes.
He has apartments in there. I mean, that would seem to me to increase the value of that property, that apartment building, allow more parking for his participants. So I'm curious if there's a value to that or if...
Right. That's one of the things we'll look into is the, you know, do we have to sell it?
Okay.
Because otherwise, would it be a gift of public funds if we just gave it away?
Right.
And then that would involve getting an appraisal and things like that.
Estimate
so
of what it is.
Before we start spending money, we wanted to see where the council wanted us to go.
Sure. From what I hear, it makes sense that we would look at possibly selling this to him and seeing what the estimate is. And if it's a public safety, you know, recommendation that it would be good to close it off. It's not used as a thoroughfare. If the other residents or neighbors adjoining property don't disagree, I think we could look at possibly selling this. I would maybe have a little bit of issue of looking at some way where we were not gifting it to them, but so I would be curious to and interested in going in that route. Thank you.
Question for you, Brad, for consideration for council is, and for council to consider is what value does that property have or hold for the city today? In other words, is there anything that the city could build on that property? Is there anything that the city could, is that property, does it have any viable use that the city could benefit from? I think those are a couple questions that need to be asked as we consider value of the property. And then I also remember it, and maybe it's a completely different circumstance, and you can remind me, and maybe it was a land swap, I can't remember at the time, but I believe that we gave some right-of-way to Ben Franklin one time.
We traded.
We did trade.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this time, in this opportunity, I think that it's important that there's a trade, whether it's a horse trade or whether it's a... there's some theme value of $50,000 or one gold coin, you know, something needs to, I think, transpire there, or an interaction, or an exchange needs to take place. So, all right, thanks. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I would be in agreement with that, because I think if we haven't talked to the other surrounding property owners, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if my neighbor wanted a piece of property and it was going to be deeded to him from the city, I would say, hey, why can't you deed it to me? That would increase my property value as well. So to that point, I think it would be fair, you know, one that we talk, discuss, and then, you know, to the mayor's question, what is the value? I mean, maybe it is where we're not using it from the city's perspective, but maybe it is more from the perspective of what is the increased value to the property owner by, you know, adding that, and then that's how we determine. I don't know, but I would not be in favor of just deeding, because any one of those property owners that, you know, could put a claim to say, you know, hey, I can use that, it's adjoining my property as well. So that would be my input.
So I think think we have the first step is reaching out to the property owners, and then the second step, without going to a getting an official, unless council would like, you know, somebody to do an official evaluation of the property. I almost think that we could spend more money getting somebody to appraise the property than it might be worth, since it was only a gold coin. We'll start there and see if we can get a feel for that and bring back some recommendations to council and some more information.
Okay.
All right. With that said, Mr. Sachs, it's departmental report time. Anything to report in addition to what you've already shared this evening? Chief, anything additional?
Nothing other than the letters that I emailed to the copies of the letters I emailed to the council members today.
Diane? Nothing tonight. Brad, anything further?
Just lots of stuff going on. Move 2, Main Street, Old Owen Highway 2 intersection is coming along. Hopefully they're going to turn the new signal on next week, and then they'll start filling in the holes, and so that should be wrapping up soon. Treatment plant, they are decommissioning the old equipment, so that's working very well. All the new stuff is in, and they should be paving the yard in a couple of weeks. Starting the Powell Street sidewalk project, Fremont's underway, and the developer has resubmitted the Bear Mountain subdivision with an access to Roosevelt Road. So that's starting up reviewing it.
Great.
So,
Ben, you almost got away, but not quite. Right. Anything to report this evening?
No. We do have new permit tech starting on Monday, Jessica Johnson, so it'll be good to get someone in here. Kim needs a lot of help, so she will start on Monday. So,
did she get my message, by the way?
She did.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good. Look good too. Nice sun over the
weekend. Thanks. Fishy.
Good. Catch anything?
No. Oh. Just this.
That's why they call it fishy.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, council members, your turn. Council member Gary.
Yeah, just had a quick question. There was somebody injured, a construction worker injured over Fremont or something like that. Did we get a report on
that? That was not. It was a contract.
Contract. Yeah,
it was not reported.
Did we find out how that person was? We haven't heard anything. Okay. There's helicopters and there was a whole bunch of activity. We don't. Okay. Had an opportunity tonight, right before this, Hour of the Honorable, over at Park Place with all the sixth graders do their, someone famous, they do a report, a big threefold report, and they actually dress in character for the famous person. My daughter was Helen Keller, and helping her with that, it was a lot of fun. Although, when people were trying to guess, she was actually talking to people, looking at people, like, you should just close your eyes and not talk. But people managed to guess anyway. It was very good. So he had 5 questions. And so we had quite a range of people. There was Misty May Trainer was one of them. There was Shaq. There was Mary Lou Retton. And then we had Jackie Robinson. We had Mark Zuckerberg. We had all kinds of these kids were dressed as, just across the board. It was a lot of fun. It was just a great time to see. It was really, really fun. So.
I'm glad to hear the kids were the Honorable. I thought that was going a different direction.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would be Honorable. No, that was the kids.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I tried to guess what Kellen was, and she wouldn't answer me. So you must
have
been nomination. She wouldn't even look at me. I'm like, oh man, you're really being rude right now.
She's trying to do parts.
Yeah. No, that was great. Thank you very much. Councilor Williams.
No, just glad to hear Ben was out fishing, because usually when someone's that red sitting next to the chief, it's not good.
Yeah.
Well, that's my goal.
Councilor Williams.
Thank you. I was able to listen to Naomi Ban, the Holocaust speaker, last Friday. It was an incredible experience. She's 90 years old, spoke for an hour and 20 minutes. And probably all the 8th graders in school were there, and you could have heard a pin drop. It was a fascinating discussion or presentation, and just the fact that she could stand there for 90 minutes and present it was amazing. I just want to say a special thanks to the Park Place Middle School for putting on. It was real fun.
She's from Bellingham, I believe, right here.
She's local. I didn't catch that much about it, but just that time frame for life was just incredible.
I'm going to say she's been doing this for about 6 or 7 years.
She's been doing it quite a few years.
Actually, my little son was the first to hear her.
Oh, really?
He graduated in 2009, so it's been a long time. 10 years. Oh, now.
She's 90 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Phenomenal.
That's it for me.
Councilmember Davis.
I'd like to say kudos to the Monroe Police Department. The letter that you sent to us was, again, they're standing tall, and we have a great department. It's good to see them recognized once again.
Councilmember Gamble.
We have our own green monster down at the treatment plant. When did that get painted?
It was part of the project.
Right. Well, there was many comments today from the community, at the park, and they just thought it was fantastic. I don't know if it was just because it was playoffs and everybody, started to notice, and they just, man, that's fantastic. No big gray albatross in right field. So painted the concrete wall all green, and it's like our own little green monster out there in right field on field number 2, I think it is. So anyway, it looks nice.
Good. Thank you.
That was very
happy.
I too was at the Hour of the Honorable. Had a great time. I don't know how I did it. This young lady was dressed up. I had 5 questions, none of them closed, and also they came to meet Eleanor Roosevelt, and I was right. And she, when I went and visited her stand, it was awesome. She just dressed very well, and the all of the information she had on the First Lady was pretty incredible too. So. Fun time, and I just want to say again, thank you to Libby's Lattes. They're located over at the Sky River Medical Center. They've been providing the council with coffee the last four weeks now, so hopefully they might get some attention from our press for their support of the council members. It's a small thing, but it's very tasty, and I'm very
appreciative. It takes you away.
Yeah, and sometimes I do with some of the conversations.
That's the comments.
Wow.
I appreciate your answer.
That's all that I have, and turn to City Administrator Razzle.
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for June 18th, 2013. Under announcements and presentations, we have the proclamation of Amateur Radio Week. That's June 16th through the 22nd. We have the consent agenda. Under new business, we have the ordinance amending Chapter 08 MMC. That's the animal code. It's the first reading. And then we have the draft agenda for June 25th, 2013. And I did add to July 9th, curb painting update. And August 13th, I added the traffic control policy discussion. Any additions or deletions?
We are anticipating not having a meeting on the 25th. It's right out here, but okay.
That's correct. We had some discussion whether or not to have a July 2nd meeting, but it's pretty critical that we have that meeting. We have a pretty important topic.
Okay.
So hopefully you can have a quorum.
I failed to mention, I was trying to make arrangements for the 25th, but I need to travel to California next week, so I will not be here next week, and so I'll have to ask Councilmember Williams, Mayor Pro Tem, to preside over the meeting as well. Councilmember Gamble has expressed or shared that he will also be out of town next week on the 18th. Anything to add?
No business trip.
All right, Councilor King.
Thank you. Brad, this, where is it? Amateur Radio Week?
Yes.
Did they bring the bus out?
Yes, we'll be down at the Sky River Park this year because the Tri-Vino Triathlon's out of Lake Tahoe, so there's not room for us. So it'll be down at Sky River.
So I'll have to walk through.
Can you do a play by play?
Yeah.
Anything else from council or staff? Thank you for the discussion. I think a lot of very good points made this evening. Good interaction. Appreciate it. At this time, I will call the meeting adjourned. I will adjourn the meeting. Meeting adjourned.
Call it adjourned.